What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, it's 1 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock, and of course, we had a great hour. Did you enjoy that? Did you enjoy that hour?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I didn't realize how much into the show Scott was, so that was really cool. And then to be able to hear his time, I mean, with the Clarks and growing up in Pittsburgh, I always love hearing stories like that.
And I mean, again, I think that's the biggest thing, too, is he's a big sports fan. You know, above and beyond everything else, he's a big sports fan. Of course, now we, let's see. It's 1 o'clock. Bob Walk is brought to you by Gutter Helmet. For a limited time, enjoy up to 35% off Gutter Helmet. No money down or payments for 1 year. Conditions apply. And by all, and by Allegiant Federal Credit Union, shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. Also, fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at SouthHillsKia.net. Let's go to the hotline and talk to Bob Walk. And, Bob, how are you doing today? Hopefully all is well for you.
Yeah, I'm doing good, Paul. Actually in the car right now, so hopefully I'm coming through crystal clear.
Good. Yeah, we can hear you. That's good. I mean, we are always happy to have you. And Bob, I got to get something off my chest, and you're somebody who played the game, so maybe you can help me out with this. But given how bad hitters are these days, and it's not just the Pirates, it's league-wide. There are teams, like even the Cardinals yesterday, their last two or three hitters were guys that were hitting like 140 or 150. Shouldn't we return to the idea of playing more small ball? Shouldn't that be something these teams should be doing with these guys that can't hit? Why not have them bunt? Why not have them, you know, do all the different things that you – at least move somebody up with your out?
Well, I agree with you about that. And, you know, I've played, but that was a long, long, long time ago. And a totally different style of baseball was being played back then as far as, you know, what the strategies were of the game and the hitting. It's become, and we've talked about this, I think, before, it's become so home run, strikeout centric. You know, that's what really drives baseball nowadays. And I think that's a lot of the problems of why, you know, you're having a tough time with the hitters. And then you also have to, you know, look at how big the pitching staffs are, how big the bullpens are. You know, go back to when I was playing, you know, it was hard to find a pitching staff more than 10, at least when I first started. You know, you had a bunch of guys on the bench. You know, I can tell you, think back to the guys we had on our bench my rookie year. You know, you had two backup infielders. You had Dale Unser, Greg Gross, George Vukovich, Lonnie Smith, all backup outfielders. We had a backup catcher and Keith Moreland. You know, you think of all these guys that were backups on the team. Well, the bullpen was only five guys. Sometimes it was six because we went with a four-man rotation at times. But you just couldn't bring in all these guys throwing 98 miles an hour like you can nowadays. So the starters were going a little bit longer. The bullpen guys had to cover more games. They had to pitch sometimes 3 or 4 days in a row. So the pitching probably wasn't as good, especially coming out of the bullpens, as it is nowadays, because there's just so many guys down there in that bullpen. And even if you do have to use them, you know, 3 or 4 days in a row or 3 days in a row, then you rotate some fresh guys from the minor leagues and bring somebody up. You know, that's done almost all the time. Weekly, you got somebody, a new fresh arm coming up. So I think that's a lot to do with what's going on around baseball. You know, the the rosters themselves has expanded from when I was playing. It was only 24 guys, you know, and that was pitchers and players also. You know, now it's gone up on to 26. So it's you have an awful lot of pitchers out there on the squad. You know, half those guys are pitchers, 13 of them. So I think that's one of the reasons, that and a few other things, of why it's so tough to hit nowadays, just these huge pitching staffs.
Well, there's no question about it, but like I said, because it is so hard to hit and because there are so many guys who seemingly they come up to the plate and you're like, this dude has no chance of getting a hit. I understand all the theories about playing for home runs and playing for big innings and, you know, not giving away outs to a point, but if you've got guys that are bad hitters, why not try and use them to their best, to the best of your ability that you can at least get something out of their outs?
I agree with you, because that's how it was when I was playing. You had the pitcher who was, you know, a .150 hitter if he was decent, and he was bunting every time, and you know, he's always moving the runners over. And usually a number 8 hitter was a guy that's, you know, going to be hitting behind runners, hit the ground ball the other side. You know, the Cardinals did a pretty good job of that in yesterday's ball game in extra innings. They played small ball, and it paid off. They had like a .180 hitter. Knock in a very important run for him, and he had that ball fall in out there that was dove for and missed, and he ended up getting a double, and then he scored what ended up being the winning run. So, you play small ball, but there's times where, and there's two outs. What are you going to do? You don't have any pinch hitters. The benches aren't very big, and one of those guys is a catcher. And if your catcher's DH in that day, well, then what do you do? So you're really kind of, your hands are tied sometimes to the moves you're going to make on offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely true. Yesterday was interesting, Bob. Yesterday the Cardinals made some, you know, uncharacteristic, really big mistakes, especially on the base pass. And then my man in the 10th inning forgetting that there was a runner on second.
Here's the thing about that. That shouldn't even be talked about. That's meaningless. Just before that ball was hit, I'm wondering, why are they even holding the runner at second on? The tying run is at the plate. That's the only guy you're worried about, is the tying run.
Right.
Because, like, let's say we've stopped the runner at third base and didn't score him. Where was the tying run for the rest of that inning? Same place it always was, out at second base. So...
Right,
him scoring there, the scoring that run is meaningless in that regard. In fact, it might even be better, because if there's not a runner at third, an outfielder is not thinking, oh, maybe I got to play a little shallow wrongly.
Right,
because the important run is at the plate. The run on base, especially in that situation, is totally meaningless.
Right. Well, what I meant was they made some uncharacteristic errors. I mean, I guess, you know, I putting it that way, I see what you're saying. But the Pirates weren't able to take advantage of, you know, because I thought that the Cardinals cost themselves at least 2, if not 3, runs on the bases.
You're right. During the game, they had first, third, nobody out. Was Wynn. He just stood at third base and allowed us to turn a double play. Never moved. You got to go home. You got to draw that throw. You can't let us turn double play. I mean, that's you learn that in amateur baseball. You know, so you can't see. People always say rookie mistake. Well, a rookie mistake. How many games has he played before he became a rookie in the big leagues?
Right.
So they did some things like that. Who was it? Everyday catcher.
Contreras.
Yeah, he hit the leadoff double, and then immediately tries to steal third when nobody else, gets thrown out, takes him out of a possible inning there. If it's a tough, close game and nobody's hitting, like you said, those kind of things you can't mess up. You can't do. I mean, if they don't make those mistakes, you know, who knows? They might be up 3-1 by the end of that game instead of a 1-1 game. So you can't do that. And, you know, it's not just them. You know, we do that same thing occasionally. There's a lot of baseball that doesn't get played the right way in those little areas, because I think and this is probably going to piss some people off and stuff, but I think, you know, especially in amateur baseball, it's more like you're playing, it's like a showcase. You're trying to show what you can do. And what the team does, whether they win, does it really matter if I go 3-for-3 with two doubles and a scout happens to see me? So as far as how to play winning baseball, having the emphasis on winning games instead of showing what you can do as an individual, or maybe and even in the minor leagues, developing the players in the minor leagues takes precedence over playing winning baseball. So some of these things, you know, I think get overlooked a little bit, when you're coming up. That's the only answer I can come away with why somebody would just stand at third base and watch a double play chart. Yeah,
that's just crazy. Jared Jones, they has a lat injury. Obviously, you pitched, Bob, at a high level. Talk a little bit about how that could become, how that affects a pitcher or whatever. And, you know, it sounds to me they put him on the injured list just out of an abundance of caution. Would you agree with that?
Well, I don't know. We've had, I think, 3 lat injuries so far this year. 3 guys go on the IL for lat injuries.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppable's in-wash scent beads.
Let's just shut you down and make sure it doesn't lead to something else. You know, anything that's kind of like that, you know, it's a small, maybe a tiny little pull. If you keep stressing it, maybe it becomes a big pull. Like for instance, a hamstring. If you just kind of maybe tweak your hamstring, now you got to sit out a week and then you're going to be okay. If you ignore it and pull your hamstring bad, now you're up 6 weeks. So I think it's probably along those lines. I don't think it's anything really serious, but I do think it's going to probably cost him a month, looking at how careful they've been bringing guys back, going and getting some rehab work, stuff like that. So I would be surprised if we see him pitch again in less than a month.
Yeah, and really it kind of comes at a good time because there's a natural a couple of days too that, you know, from the All-Star break, right? I mean, so they're going to be able to maybe get like a month, but he's really probably only going to miss like 20 games instead of say like 24.
Yeah, I mean, of course they could bring him back after 15, but I just don't think they're going to do that. I think that after some time off, they're probably going to want him to go down and get a start down there. Even Perez, the veteran that he is, they were very cautious with him. I mean, when he tweaked his groin, he finished the inning and came out. So, you know, it wasn't all that bad. And he still missed a month and still had to go down to the minor leagues and get some work in down there. So I think they'll probably do the same thing with Jones.
I will say this, Bob. It's kind of interesting that Paul Skenes is such a for lack of a better term, we just had Scott Blasey from the Clarks in, so I'll use, he's such a rock star, right? That when he pitches, it's basically Paul Skeens day. Like, this is, I mean, every time he goes to the mound, it's must-see TV, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. I mean, and this, I think, one of the things that shows you how different he is, the situation around him and everything. You know, here's a guy that's just, you know, basically recently got called up. What is he making his 10th start tonight? You know, he hadn't been here all that long, relatively speaking. And, you know, I know that there's people that are talking about how can we get this guy to start for the National League in the All-Star game? It's pretty amazing, the national story that Skeens has become, and obviously a great for the Pirates. He's really kind of putting us on the map again. You know, we got a national superstar that's out there playing for us. So I'm loving the whole situation, and every time he goes out there, I'm hoping he does something just spectacular, because then I know for the next 3 or 4 days he's going to be the talk of baseball, all starting up again every time he goes to hill.
Well, again, I think that's the biggest thing. And I think one of the things that's amazing, Bob, is he doesn't just throw hard, right? I mean, he's a really good pitcher. Like, he's got 5 pitches. The last time he was out, I forget what, maybe it might have been like his fastball or his curveball wasn't working really well, and he immediately switches and starts giving them a healthy dose of something else, and he ends up, even though he labored, he ends up with like 8 or 9 strikeouts and gets through 6 innings.
Yeah, I mean, when he has an off game in his standards, you take those same numbers and put them with somebody else, and you're like, wow, he pitched great, didn't he? I mean, that's another weird thing about him, is that his off game is somebody else's great game. You mentioned that, you know, he's got such a full tool chest of pitches that he can use. Not that he doesn't use them all the time, but I can say that about other guys too. But in reality, these guys that are 5 or 6 pitch pitchers are really 3 pitch pitchers. They have those other things, but they hardly ever throw them, and they're not really usable pitches because they don't have much command of them. But that's not true with him. Everything he has is a plus pitch, and he's got command of all those pitches. So that's you're hitting the nail on the head when you say he's not just a hard thrower. Yeah, he can throw over 100 miles an hour. He does frequently. He's thrown at 102, pushing 100 pitches. So he maintains that credible velocity. So there's a lot going for him. But the bottom line is he's not just a hard thrower. He is a very good, quote-unquote, pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of fun to watch him. That's the biggest thing. The other guy that they have that's really fun, and I know his last outing was rough, but for the most part, Mitch Keller has really been rolling for the most part. Huh? I mean, he's a guy that you look at and maybe say he's an all-star.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of been a little rough here and there a couple of times of late. One game he pitched very well, but he couldn't get that win. See, I'm thinking about wins because he has a chance to get in double figures and wins before the All-Star break. Guys don't do that much anymore. I mean, you make, getting double figures of wins by the All-Star break, now you start thinking, well, if I can keep the same pace going to the end of the year, I'm a 20-game winner. And, man, is that rare. And so I really want him not only to pitch well every time he goes out there, I want him to be able to stay out there long enough to where he can get the W, which means, I got to go 6 innings or maybe 7 to really have a legitimate shot, because you don't want to leave too much of the game at the end where something can go wrong and you're not even out there. So I really love it to watch him go out there. I know that they give him a little bit more rope. He can go out there and pitch a little longer than the guys. You know, he's a little older, and he's shown that he can do it and stay healthy. So he gets that chance, which makes it a little bit fun for me too. And I know they're not going to pull him out of there after 5 innings. 29 pitches just to try and keep his pitch count down. I mean, if he comes out of the game, it's going to be to the other.
Fantex Live brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Also, the Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Bob Watt, for a couple more minutes on the hotline right now. Bob, the thing that we just continue to talk about, it doesn't change. It's the same conversation every week. But, you know, what this offense is just really...
I know what it is. Yeah, the offense.
This offense is just really hard to watch. I mean... and it feels like some guys like Rowdy Tellez and obviously Reynolds has gone crazy and you know McCutchen had a stretch where he was hitting pretty well, but man, it's just, I mean, what do they have to do to get going here?
Oh, I just hit, I guess. I don't know. I have a slightest idea. We talk all the time about Swinski needs to stay on the fastball. This guy needs to have confidence. That guy needs to. Just talk until somebody starts doing it.
Right.
I don't think Rowdy really changed it. He just stayed with what he's done in the past, where he's had the success, and things started clicking for him, and he started getting a little luck here and there. Sometimes that plays a big part too. He hit a home run, a big home run for us a couple of nights ago, went 325 feet, tucked it right in the first throw behind the foul pole.
I think we lost Bob.
Oh, okay. I'm like, wait, is it my headphones?
No, it's not your headphones. I think we lost Bob.
Okay. Well, Bob, we were just getting into the offense, but that's okay. I mean, sometimes those things happen, correct?
Yeah, I mean, he said he was driving.
He said he was driving.
Had
so
to have gone through a bad area.
He had a bad spot. You know, if he calls back, tell him we said thank you, and we will talk to him next week. Do you still have Doc there or no?
No, Doc was going to call back.
Okay.
I think he might call back any minute now.
But. Okay, if he does, I mean, again, you know how long it's been since I've talked to Doc?
I know, that's what I told him. I knew you'd want to talk to him.
It's been a long, long time. And here's the thing. I was listening to Zangrilli the other day, and Doc called in. So I was happy because I was like, well, good. I mean, we hadn't really heard from Doc for a while. So I'm glad that he's back and he's doing well and everything else. That's good stuff, you know.
Yeah, I know we had that conversation. One of the fan frequents, like Doc in Claysville, yeah. Chuck in Uniontown, the Hall of Famers.
When I used to do after the Pirate game, so there was the Pirate post game show. You know what I mean? I think City Limits is on the phone now, so that's okay. I'm talking to myself. But I used to do the Pirate post-game show.
We got Doc.
All right. Let's put him on. Doc, like I said, I feel like in station history, you're a Hall of Famer. How you doing, sir?
Well, thank you. Doing pretty good for 81 years old.
Wow.
And what I called about Paul was... The show you had with Joe Starkey and Dan Zangrilli.
Okay.
What I call him, Dirtbag Dan is what I call him. But anyway, I don't want to say any more about him. But, but anyway, in other words, I'm more on the idea of like Bob Pompiani is, where he says, when you gonna go for it? I'm with him. This is the year you go for it. He said we keep kicking a can down the road, and every year it's the same thing. So we're in the mix there for a while, Card, and that defeatist attitude isn't good to be put out there.
Right. I mean, but Doc, you're right, kicking the can down the road. But do you think that this team, if you add some players, has enough to actually make a run this year?
At least get one good bat. I said the other day that bat would be, I'm trying to think of it first, Justin Turner or from the Toronto Blue Jays or the right fielder Springer. An established bat as a veteran to put in the lineup there. And remember, he turned a couple of these one-run losses into one-run wins.
Right. No, I think you're absolutely right when it comes to that. There's no question about it. I think it's important to note that.
The other thing is...
Go ahead.
On the real heated debate, that was great radio for an hour. There you had Dirk Bogdan and you and Joe Starkey, and you really grilled him pretty good. But I like at the end what you said. Well, what are we doing here? One of your lines, right? Paul, one of your lines. What are we doing here? We're going to be just the feeders for the real teams, you know.
Right, right. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, and that was the whole thing. At some point, yeah, I agree with you. At some point, you got to go get it. And so, Doc, it's great to hear from you, and I hope you're doing well. And we will hopefully hear from you now more frequently.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and you're just doing a great job. And I enjoy listening, especially to baseball talk.
All right. Thank you, Doc.
Okay, nice talking to you, Paul, and have a belated happy 4th of July.
We will do that.
Okay, buddy.
Thank you, man.
See you later.
Thank you, man. How about that? We have a new nickname. Dirtbag Dan.
Dirtbag Dan. Is that what he called him? Dirtbag
Dan? When you get to be 81, you can say whatever the hell you want to say, right? That's one thing about it. When people get to, when they get to about 75 years old, you know what they figure out? I'm old enough. I've earned it. I can say whatever the hell I want to say. So that's the new nickname, Dirtbag Dan.
Help me, Dan, please. I can't take it anymore.
Oh, it's hilarious. I just think it's great. Yeah, no, when I used to be on after the Pirates games, I had that cavalcade of stars. You know, Doc in Claysville, Mike from Newcastle, Chuck in Uniontown, Greg in Youngstown. There was a group of about seven of them that would start off the show every night, you know, and they all were classics.
We almost heard from our friend Greg in Youngstown the other day. He called in, but we never got to him.
Yes, it's exactly. It is one of those things where we always have a good time. Anyway, we got to get to a break. It's 93.7 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Smoothie King's new lemonade lineup is here.
Lemonade, lemonade, the Smoothie King way.
Try a strawberry guava lemonade SK refresher.
Over ice.
A power up in a cup.
Energize.
Or a blueberry lemonade smoothie.
Blend it up in your cup.
Made with real fruit, real juice for a real sipping good summer.
Yum, yum, gotta get some.
Smoothie King's new lemonade lineup, all for a limited time.
Who's thirsty?